message you're about to listen to was preached at Prosper Gospel Church Dominion Center, pastored by Sam O. Salau. Be blessed as you listen in Jesus' name. Amen.
How many gifts have we studied so far? Three. What are those three gifts? One. The second. And discernment of spirit. And these three are called one name. What are they called? What are they called? Revelational or inspirational gifts. We are crossing today into another class of gifts. So there are three classes. The gift that reveals something, the revelational or inspirational gift, the gift that says something, the vocal gift, and then the gift that does something, the power gift. We are crossing from the revelational gift now into the vocal gift, the gift that says something, the gift that says something. We're from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the only chapter we have been reading as our main text. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Open your Bible and let's read together. Okay, it's on the screen. Shall we read together at the count of three? One, two, three, let's go. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirit. That was where we stopped last week. Then this next one says, to another, diverse kinds of tongues. What King James calls what we are studying tonight is diverse kinds of tongues. Says to another, the interpretation of tongues. What we are studying tonight is diverse kinds of tongues. Have you been blessed in this meeting at all? Is it worth it? You think it's worth it? Okay. What we are studying tonight is what King James Bible, by the mouth of Apostle Paul, calls diverse kinds of tongues. Popularly, we call it gift of speaking in tongues. Some call it the gift of tongues. Some call it the gift of speaking in tongues. It is one of the few gifts that was mentioned twice in this chapter of the Bible. Almost all the other gifts were mentioned just in this place, between verse 7 to verse 11. But this gift was opportune with another gift to be mentioned in two places in this same chapter of the Bible. Verse 28, Paul was recounting again in verse 28. It says, and God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, government, diversities of tongues. In verse 10, he related to it as diverse kinds of tongues. In verse 28, he related to it as diversities of tongues. He's still talking about the same gift. If time will permit us, we'll talk about the gift of helps, the gift of government, and all the other gifts. But this time around, we are focusing on spiritual gifts alone. So this is the gift that people call speaking in tongues. The actual Bible name for it is diverse kind of tongues or diversities of tongues. It is one of the most controversial gifts in the church today. One of the most controversial. It is so controversial because many people do not have a good depth of this gift. They think they know it, but they don't know it. And they talk as though they know it. And that is where the problem is. So tonight we want to clear so many muddy waters. We want to find out what precisely is this gift. Before Genesis chapter 11, the world was speaking one language. Everybody had just one language. Then they came together and told themselves, because they could relate together from one another, they told themselves, let us build a tower. This tower will reach up to heaven. If this tower can reach to heaven, then we'll go and meet God where he is. And they started building the tower. And God was watching them. They were building 4th floor, 10th floor, 100th floor, 1,000th floor. They were building. The tower was going up. And God saw that the way these people were going, they will likely build a tower that will reach heaven. So God scattered their language. So the whole world was speaking one voice before. There was no Yoruba. There was no Hausa. There was no French. There was no Spanish. There was no Germany. Everybody was speaking one language. What is that language? I don't know. When we get to heaven, we'll ask God, what was the initial language before you destroyed the languages? Because that initial language will now be the mother of all other languages. So God scattered their tongues. And so men started speaking different voices because they planned to move against God. They wanted to plan a coup against God. They wanted to overthrow God. They wanted to deal with God. They wanted to go see. They wanted to go see how God looked like, how the heavens they've been hearing about look like. They didn't want to wait for rapture. They didn't want to wait until they go to heaven. They just want to walk up to heaven. So God scattered their languages, and so they could not relate together as one again. And that was the beginning of tongues, that men started speaking different languages. Fast forward. Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, after Jesus died and the Holy Spirit came, everybody started speaking in tongues. 120 people in the upper room, they were speaking different languages and they were praising God. The other one that happened in Genesis chapter 11, they spoke different languages and they were divided, because the Bible said after they spoke those different languages, they were scattered abroad. Those who were speaking the same languages among them moved together to go and start a new race, because they couldn't live together again. For example, people were building, and as they were building, the bricklayer would tell his boy who's supposed to supply him sand, say, go and bring sand. But what he's saying to that one in another language, that one understood it in another language. And so we'll go and do something else. Say, go and bring sand. The guy will go and bring cement. Say, it is not sand. It is not cement. It is sand. And there was so much commotion. So they were scattered. Tongues came and scattered the people, divided the people, because they were not pleasing God. They were moving against God's plan for the universe. And in Acts chapter 6, came and united the people together. People were speaking different languages, but they were praising the Lord while they were speaking different languages. All of them were praising the Lord. People were hearing them glorify God in different languages. That was the beginning of tongues. How do we define tongues? What is diverse kind of tongues? What is diversity of tongues? What do we call speaking in tongues? We all know what speaking in tongues is. I'll just give us this simple definition. For the purpose of this evening teaching, I say speaking in tongues is the divine utterance in a language unlearned and previously unknown. Speaking in tongues is a divine utterance. It's not just an utterance. It's a divine utterance in a language unlearned and previously unknown by the speaker, spoken by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. A divine utterance in a language unlearned and previously unknown by the speaker, spoken by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So, in a nutshell, speaking in tongues is a divine utterance. It's not just an utterance. Anybody can utter anything. Anybody can say anything. But it is a divine saying. It is a divine utterance. An utterance given by the Holy Spirit, but spoken by the speaker. Speaking in tongues is not spoken by the Holy Spirit.
Most people will not speak in tongues because they expect the Holy Spirit to speak through their tongue. Holy Spirit will not open your mouth. It is the speaker that opens his mouth to speak. The Holy Spirit gives the utterance, gives the inspiration. But if the speaker shuts his mouth, there will be no speaking in tongues. So speaking in tongues is a divine utterance by the speaker in a language unlearned. He has not learned the language before and previously unknown. It's possible he has not learned it, but he knows it. For example, if you are a Yoruba man and you stay in the north or you stay in the east, and all of your neighbors are northerners, all of your friends are northerners, all of your classmates are northerners, even if you don't want to learn the language, naturally you will hear one or two tidbits if you stay with them in 6 months to 1 year. Ask our Pastor Collins, he went to serve in the north. So when me and him, when we talk now, he mistakenly speaks language that I don't hear. And I tell him, return back to sender, because I don't understand what he's saying. Whether he's praising God in the spirit or he's abusing me in the flesh, I don't understand. So if you stay in a particular setting that is different from the language you speak, you will naturally pick the words. But that is not tongues. That is a language that you have learned or you knew previously. Speaking in tongues is a divine utterance by the speaker in a language unlearned and previously unknown by the speaker, spoken by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. There are three levels of tongues in the Bible. Okay, let's say four levels of tongues. Let me add this one to it. There are four levels of tongue in the Bible. The first level of tongue in the Bible is your mother tongue, the one you speak, or the one you learned. Learned tongue. Let's call it learned tongue or known tongue. Known tongue or learned tongue. The first level of tongue in the Bible is learned tongue, known tongue. The one you speak could be your mother tongue, could be the one you go to learn in school. Most of us here will be Yoruba or Igbo or whatever, but you speak English. Now, speaking English is tongue, but it is a learned tongue that is not speaking in tongues. Although you are speaking a language, but that is not tongue. You can speak in your mother tongue naturally. You can speak in a learned tongue naturally. That's the first level of tongue. The second level of tongue in the Bible is tongue as an initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Tongues as an initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This also is not the gift of tongues. Most people miss it together. This is just tongue as an initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. From the day of Pentecost, almost every time that the Holy Spirit descended, almost every time people will speak in tongues, starting from the day of Pentecost. Every time the Holy Spirit descends initially upon the life of a man, the first evidence you will see is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Although there are other evidences of the existence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a man, other evidences like the fruit of the Spirit and thereabouts, there are other evidences. But I don't know why God has picked this as the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I feel it's because you are living the world you are, the kingdom you are operating before, into a new kingdom. And as a sign that you are entering a new kingdom, you must learn you must have the new language. So if you live where you are now, and you go to France where they speak French, and there's nobody around who can speak English, the first way you will know that you are in trouble is when you get down at the airport and you say, "Bros, how are you?" And he says, what are you saying in French? Who is the French teacher here? Who understands French? Comment ça va? Eh? Ça bien merci. Is that what are you saying? Papa bien merci. Ça va bien merci. So you say, "Hello, good morning, please, I'm going to somewhere, ça va bien merci." You know, does not hear what I'm saying. And you go to meet another person, say, "Please, I'm looking for so-so street." Say, "Ça va bien merci." You know you are in deep trouble. So tongues is a new sign that you are entering a new community. That you are entering a new place. And you have to be cautious. So God made the tongue as a sign of the initial sign of speaking of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so that you can know that you have already left one realm, you have entered another realm, you have left one kingdom, you have entered another kingdom, you have left one operation, you have entered another operation. That one is speaking in tongues as the initial evidence of baptism of the Holy Spirit. Somebody asked me, is it possible to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and not speak in tongues? I said, I don't know. Sincerely, I don't know. Because almost all of the times in the Acts of the Apostles, there was an evidence of tongues. Even Cornelius, who was not a believer, who received the gift of who received the gospel on the spot, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the spot. So if you have somebody who calls himself a Christian and he has not had the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, he is losing a lot. He doesn't understand what he's losing. Giving your life to Jesus is like somebody has given you a car to drive so that you can enjoy life. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is like the engine oil that makes the car run effectively. If you don't have an engine oil in the car, your fuel may be full, petrol, gas may be full, the car will not do a satisfactory work. So somebody who has not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit is losing megaly. So the second type of tongues in the Bible is speaking in tongues as initial evidence of baptism of the Holy Spirit. The third type of tongues in the Bible is speaking in tongues as our prayer language. Speaking in tongues as our prayer language. Everybody who has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit will speak in tongues at the baptism, as the initial evidence. But most people will stop at that tongue. He has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then he spoke two syllables, rabba, 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 rabba. He has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But most people will stop at that level. They will not exercise it. They will not use it. And because they don't use it, it will naturally die in their life. So ask believers when you seek them. You see so many believers who once spoke in tongues before. But now ask them to pray in the Spirit. They can't pray in the Spirit because they have lost it. It's like your muscles. If you use your muscles, the way you use your muscles, the more you use it, the more it gets bigger. If you don't use it, you paralyze that muscle. As I have the arm now and my limbs are moving, if you tie this arm together like this, put POP, cast POP on it, and tie it together like this, and leave it here like this for like 6 months to 1 year, by the time you remove the POP, the muscles are already stiffened. They are not relaxed again. It will be difficult for me to stretch that hand. I will need to go through a number of physiotherapeutic process before I will be able to use the hand again, because the muscles will have stiffened. So many people who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit who don't pray in the Spirit have lost it. That muscle is stiffened and they need to grease it and oil it again. So that speaking in tongues as a prayer language, that every time you go to God in prayer, you have a time of tongues, of praying in a language that the devil does not understand, so the devil cannot come in between your prayer and God. Romans chapter 8 verse 26. Romans chapter 8 verse 26 says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So many people, when they read this scripture, see what they read. Some people read like this: for we know not what we should pray for. That is not what the Bible is saying. It's not saying we don't know what we should pray for. Some people stop at that and say, because we don't know what we should pray for, let's begin to pray in the Spirit. We are not praying in the Spirit because we don't know what we should pray for. We know what we should pray for. I know my needs. I know the things my family needs. I know the things my children need. So I know what I should pray for. But what I don't know is the way I should pray about it, as we ought to. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit also, the Spirit itself helpeth our infirmities by making intercessions for us that is above the groanings that we can utter. So each time you are praying, and you are praying in the Spirit, Holy Spirit itself begins to pray for you the way you ought to pray. You might think this is the way you ought to pray, but when you are praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit teaches you the way to pray. There are things you're meant to say that you cannot say because you don't know that is what you ought to say. How do I explain this? Okay. Let's assume that I want to visit a family in this church, and the family wants to prepare food for me, and they know that the pastor likes food, so they want to prepare food for me. But they can't come and ask me, "Pastor, what food shall we prepare for you when we come to your when you are coming to our house?" So they go to meet my children, or they go to meet my wife. They say, "Pastor says he's coming to our house to come and eat on Sunday. Please, what is his best food?" Now they now begin to tell you secret of the food you need to prepare. Say, "This is the way you should prepare. He likes amala, but this is how he likes his amala, and he likes begiri. This is how he likes to serve his begiri, and this is how he likes his meat." You understand? By the time you begin to consult that person, the person tells you secrets that you don't know before that will help you to do a good preparation for pastor. So when pastor comes, he's happy with the food he's eating. That's where the Holy Spirit is. He helps us to pray the way we ought to pray. And this sign is for all believers. If a believer does not have it, he is losing. He's losing much more than he thinks he is. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. How often are you supposed to pray in the Spirit? If somebody is reading, answer me. How often are you supposed to pray in the Spirit? I pray at all times in the Spirit. If you are praying in the Spirit today, let me see your hand. You are praying in the Spirit today. You see? Thank you. Drop your hand. But the Bible says we should pray at all times. So every time you kneel down to pray, pray in the Spirit. How many of you have noticed that when I pray, even before I start any prayer point, I'm already praying in the Spirit first? Because I want the Holy Spirit to guide me to pray. Call any prayer point. Before I even start praying with my understanding, I engage the warfare of spiritual tongues to clear the way. It says, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, bearing in mind this one, be on the alert with all perseverance and petitions for all the saints. So if you are not praying in the Spirit, you are not at alert. Give me King James for this verse. If you are not praying in the Spirit, you are not at alert. The devil can catch the person unaware. The devil can short circuit somebody's prayer. When you pray in languages that the devil understands, the devil can delay answers to your prayers. You all know the story of Daniel in the Bible. I knelt down to pray, and as he prayed, he was asking God for one thing. And as he prayed, immediately he knelt down to pray, God released the answer to what he was asking God for. And for 21 days, he didn't receive the answer. But he was still on his knees praying 21 days. Because a prince of Persia came and withheld the answer to his prayers. How many of you could be that patient? That you pray for one thing, and you not receive answer, and you are still on your knees day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day. There are people there who have never prayed for 5 hours before, talking less of one day. But Daniel was on his feet for 21 days before God sent another angel to come and rescue the angel that was bringing his answer. So the devil can hear the prayers you are praying, but you can confuse the devil by your spiritual language. Anytime you say, "Rabo, desketele, bedo, pradash, katala, tatodia," devil is wondering, who understands what he's saying? Who understands what he's saying? Before he gets an inkling of what you are saying, answer has come from heaven. So you can short circuit the devil from your prayer by praying in the Spirit. So every believer must get to this level where you pray in the Spirit at all times. Not just when you are doing fasting and prayer. Not just when we come to our vigils and we say, "Okay, for the next 15 minutes, let's begin to pray in the Spirit." For like 2-3 months now, I have not done that. And if you are not doing it in church, and you are not doing it at home, you are losing maximally. This gift of the Spirit called tongues, diverse of tongues, is one of the most bastardized gifts of the Spirit. Because people want to exhibit it. People who don't have any of the 9 gifts can easily pretend they have this one as a gift. So if somebody has the gift of healing, you will know. Somebody has working of miracles, you will know. Somebody has discernment of spirit, you will know. But if somebody has the gift of tongues, the only way you know is that the person prays in the Spirit well. And then somebody who does not have any gift might pretend he has a gift of tongue by just speaking in tongues to deceive people. That's deception. Because of the importance of this gift, some people intentionally go to fabricate it. So I've heard of people going to schools, school of the spirit, where they learn how to speak in tongues. So we are going to the school of the spirit. What are they teaching you? They teach them how to speak in tongues. And those are demonic, devilish schools. So if you want to speak in tongues, just take two fruits, mention the two fruits together, and you call it very far to be speaking in tongues. So for example, take banana and take pineapple and add apple to it. See, banana, pineapple, papa, banana, pineapple, apple, banana, pineapple. They learn it. Somebody said you can take one Yoruba name, take one Igbo name, and take one Hausa name, and combine the three together and call it very fast to be speaking in tongues. Oh, chukwalaba Muhammad. Now those are fabrications from the depth of hell. I've been in a place before where somebody was speaking in tongues, and the Holy Spirit asked me to slow down and listen to what the person is saying. So when I slowed down, I was now picking. I tie my tie, you tie your tie. I tie my tie, you tie your tie. Tie your tie. You know, those are fabrications of tongues. Somebody can go scot-free here on earth and think you have deceived the church. If there is no person with discernment of spirit, can think you have deceived the church. But you'll be shocked that your punishment is waiting for you in heaven. We had a meeting one day in Orelope Church, and then it was in the upper room. They were doing a baptismal service, and then it was me and one pastor called Pastor Showoli. They were ministering baptism to everybody, and everybody was speaking. Everybody was meaning one woman like that, very old woman. And they were ministering. After a long while, I was tired. The woman saw that I was tired, so the woman was going to encourage us. She just started saying, Yabata. And the only thing just told me it's a lie. She's not saying anything. She's a lie. She's not saying anything. I said, Mama, Erake, keep quiet, Mama, keep quiet. What are you saying? Say, I'm just saying something that. But you know what you are saying. I say, because I saw that you people are tired. You've been on my case for so long, and I don't want to ridicule you. So I just say, let me just say something so you can let me go. Now, if we're not sensitive in the spirit that day, we're two pastors there. If we're not sensitive in the spirit, we'll have just clapped our hand and say, thank God, this woman has received baptism of the Holy Spirit. But she has actually deceived us. In herself, she knew she was deceiving us. And then we didn't know, it's not for the revelation of the spirit by the discernment of spirit. So, yabata. I can't forget that. I still see the woman once in a while. I still see it. When we go to Ajebo camp, I still see her almost every time. Yabata. So people can fabricate speaking in tongues. That speaking in tongues as your prayer language. Anywhere you go, where they tell you that to speak in tongues, you need to learn something. Run away from that place. It's not God, it's demonic. So you need to learn. This is how, by the time they begin to teach you how to speak in tongues, run away from the place. There are so many of them. Go online, you will see. Just Google how to speak in tongues. You see so many revelations that are not scriptural and biblical that could lead you straight to hellfire. So, what I call the first tongue in the Bible, if you are following me, what's the first tongue in the Bible? Learned or known tongue. That's your mother tongue or a borrowed tongue. What's the second tongue in the Bible? As initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What's the third tongue in the Bible? Speaking in tongues as a prayer language. And the fourth tongue in the Bible is the gift of speaking in tongues. That's what we call diversities of tongues or diverse kinds of tongues. In Hebrew, it's called glossolalia, tongues. Glossolalia. It is not the ability of the man to be able to speak so many tongues. No, that is not it. A man can have the gift of God to learn and speak so many tongues. I was watching
talking on WhatsApp some few months ago, around November, December, Deeper Life School. They were doing their graduation ceremony. I think it's in Deeper Life University. The Angkor was the name of the university. They are doing their graduation ceremony, and there was a man they called to anchor the program. And he first spoke French. I think he spoke Spanish. Then he spoke Igbo. Then he spoke Hausa. Then he now spoke Yoruba. How many of you saw the video? Ah, you are not current in this church. Please, let's look for that video and send to all of them. Now, he spoke like six languages, and he was speaking them very, very well. That is not the gift of speaking in tongues. He has the gift to learn tongues and to understand tongues. The gift of speaking in tongues has nothing to do with what you learn. Yoruba will say, only a tiede. He has ears for tongues. Some people can learn tongues easily. Some people will not learn tongues easily. Some people can stay in a place for 3 months and they will pick the tongue. Meanwhile, you have some people here. They have stayed in Yoruba land for 10 years, 15 years. They can't speak Yoruba. They don't have ears for language. If they have ears for language, it still is not speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is an unlearned, unknown language by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just inspire you. And then after that inspiration, you open your mouth. And you open your mouth, words begin to come out of your mouth. This is completely different from speaking in tongues as your prayer language. What are the differences? One, speaking in tongues as your prayer language can be self-initiated. Speaking in tongues as the gift of the Holy Spirit can only be moved by the Spirit. Speaking in tongues by a prayer language can be self-initiated. So if I say, everybody, let's begin to pray in the Spirit now. You don't need to wait for something to move you. Say, and begin to wait. And begin to wait. You just open your mouth. And you begin to speak. It's self-motivated. That is speaking in tongues as your prayer language. Speaking in tongues as a gift of the Spirit is not self-motivated. You don't tune it up. Something comes and then with force you open your mouth and you begin to speak. It's not self-motivated. Initiated. Speaking in tongues as a prayer language can be done at any time you like. Speaking in tongues as the gift of the Spirit is only operative when God needs to pass a message across to his people. So God wants to release a word to the church now. And somebody opens his mouth and says, then somewhere else, another person just speaks. That's the interpretation of tongues. That is God passing a message across to the church. Speaking in tongues as a prayer language can be regulated. Speaking in tongues as the gift of the Spirit cannot be regulated. So Paul says, if we're in a gathering and somebody speaks and there's no interpretation, he says, let the person keep quiet. Because he's not benefiting the body of Christ. That is speaking in tongues as a prayer language. So let that be between you and God. You don't need to disturb us with that. But if it is speaking in tongues as the gift of the Spirit, somebody is speaking, another person is interpreting, both of them combined together becomes prophecy. So we relax to hear what God is saying. Differences. Speaking in tongues as a prayer language benefits majorly the speaker. Speaking in tongues as a gift of the Spirit benefits the body of Christ. So when you are praying in the Spirit, during your prayer time, you are the only person who is benefiting yourself. Even if God is revealing something to you about something, somebody else, you are the only person benefiting yourself. I shared this in this church before, long ago. When my first daughter was still about 1 year old, my wife was carrying the pregnancy of my second daughter. And then, we were lying on the bed, ready to sleep. I was doing something on the system. I just had to pray in the Spirit. Just say some few words of prayer before I sleep. And most times I pray in the Spirit a lot. So I was just playing around with my Spirit, my prayer language. I was just bam, that one, sale, together. I was just praying around. And as I was praying around, I noticed something. That she will run to the sitting room, and then she will run back to the bedroom. The mother was already sleeping on the bed. And because she was still young, very young, about a year, she was always sleeping in between us. She has a cot that will never allow her to go and sleep on. The court was just there, wasted. So she was always sleeping in between us. She would run to the sitting room and then she would run back. Get it to like to 12 in the middle of the night. Past 12 in the middle of the night, she would run to the sitting room to go and stay in the sitting room and then she would come back. So as I was just praying in the spirit, something just told me that why not let everybody come and sleep in the sitting room tonight? And we had one bed that is like 16 inches foam, 6 by 6. For two men to carry that bed is work. And I ran to 12 in the night, and the spirit came on me while praying in the spirit. Let's just go and sleep in the sitting room tonight. Okay. And I don't think we had ever slept in the sitting room before that time. So I woke up my wife. And God gave her a very retentive, obedient spirit that day. So she said, okay. You know what it means to wake up a pregnant woman at like the 12 in the middle of the night and say, don't sleep in this room. Go and sleep in the sitting room. And I didn't say, Holy Spirit told me that we should not sleep in this room. You know, it's a very serious temptation. So I just said, let's go and sleep in the sitting room tonight. And just carried her cover cloth. And she went to the sitting room. And I singularly dragged the mattress, dragged and dragged to the sitting room. And we all slept in the sitting room that night. And somewhere in the middle of the night, around 3 a.m., we just had in the room. Everybody was scared. Everybody in the building woke up. We were shocked. And then I have my wife beside me in the sitting room. I have my daughter beside me in the sitting room. And then I had my sister-in-law in the sitting room. So there were like three women. I was the only man there. And somebody had to go in to go and see what made the sound inside the bedroom. You know, it was a very serious case. At that moment, you know whether you are man enough or not. So I was just praying in the spirit as I was going, silent. And as I entered the room, I was shocked at what we saw. There was a television on one corner of the room. Very big room. 16 by 20 room. 16 by 20 room. Very big. There was a television on one corner of the room like this. There were my bookshelf on another corner of the room like this. Two big bookshelves. The television, the bed was at this corner of the room. The television flew from this side of the room. If a television wants to fall down, at least to fall down and fall down here. The television, not all this television, no, I'm talking about 15 years ago, 13 years ago, television with a memory, a logo. The television flew from this side of the bed, from that side of the wall, and came and landed on the bed here, at the exact spot where my wife would sleep with her pregnancy. The chef that was on this corner of the room flew from this corner and came and landed. It did not follow, he flew. Came and landed on the bed where me I would sleep. Did the fan fall? Okay, the fan did not fall. And when I saw it, I was shocked that this is not an accident. Somebody carried it, wanted to wedge my wife and wedge me on the bed in the middle of the night. My friends that I called to come and see it in the morning, Sheyi and all of them, they were shocked. They said, you mean you did not carry this thing? It happened like this. I said, that's why I called you to come and see it. Now, I was praying in the spirit. It benefited me. Praying in the spirit most times will benefit the prayer, the person who is praying it. But the gift of tongues will benefit the body of Christ as a whole. Another difference is that praying in the spirit does not need interpretation. When you are praying in the spirit, you don't need somebody to be interpreting it. But the gift of tongues always needs interpretation, because a message needs to be passed across to the people who are listening to you. There are two classes of the gift of tongues. Two classes of the gift of tongues. The first class is when you are speaking in the tongues of men. You are speaking in tongues, in an unknown tongue, in an unlearned tongue, but you are not speaking a tongue that is from heaven. You may not know what you are saying, but what you are saying is a tongue that is on earth. That was what happened on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2. We are talking about four levels of tongue. The one of the learned tongue, the known tongue, then the tongue as a sign, initial evidence of speaking, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then you have tongues as your prayer language. Then you have the gift of tongues. This gift of tongues, now there are two of them, two ways. You are either speaking in the language that you know, Acts chapter 2 verse 6. Acts chapter 2 verse 6. The Bible says, now when this was noise abroad, people had noise, the multitudes came together and were confounded, because that every man had them speak. In which language they were speaking? In his own language. So they were speaking in tongues, actually. They were practically speaking in an unknown tongue, in an unlearned tongue. It's unknown because they did not know the tongue. It's unlearned because they did not learn the tongue, but they were speaking the tongue fluently. Verse 6. Let's go to verse 8. Verse 8. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Now, it's different to hear somebody speak in your tongue. It's another thing to hear somebody speak in your tongue wherein you were born. That somebody speak in your tongue means you see an Igbo man and he's speaking Yoruba and he's speaking Batin Bati. He's speaking the Yoruba, but you know this one is not a Yoruba person because he's speaking in Batin Bati. You ask him, are you Igbo? He says, yes, I am Igbo. Then no wonder you are speaking Yoruba like this. Now he's speaking your tongue, but he's not speaking it in the way you speak it upon. Now this one a tongue, the way those who were born in the land will speak it. That is, this is an Igbo man though, but the way he's speaking Yoruba, you'll be arguing that he's Igbo. He says he's Igbo, so how can you be Igbo? You are speaking Yoruba like this. He's speaking that tongue. That is speaking in tongues. It's human language, but God will allow somebody to speak that because he has the purpose to fulfill. So if you go to verse 11, you see the same thing. It says, creatives, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. They were not saying rubbish in their tongue. They were speaking what made sense. They were talking about the wonderful works of God. That is the first level of speaking in tongues. Baba Obadare of Prophet, of a blessed memory, Prophet T.O. Obadare. Eh? Is it T.O.? I think it's Timothy. It's T.O. Obadare. Of blessed memory was invited to a country to come and pray, to come and minister. And Baba does not understand English. Baba can only speak Yoruba. He was invited to a non-English speaking country. I don't know what country. Maybe they spoke Spanish, or they spoke Germany, or they spoke French. I don't know what they were speaking in that country. To come and minister. So they gave him an interpreter to interpret for him. Now he needed two interpreters. Since they couldn't get somebody who would speak, who understands Yoruba and who can speak that language, they gave them an interpreter who will interpret to English. Now the person who will interpret to English now has an interpreter who will now interpret to that native language. That means Baba will say his own in Yoruba, then somebody here will now say it in English, then another person will now say it in a language that the native will longer understand. So Baba just got there and he spoke the first few words Yoruba. And Yoruba, there's this statement you always say, Ogoni fun Olorun ni oke orun mo wi len kan si pe Ogoni fun Eledumare. As he said that, he started speaking in tongues, and as he was speaking in tongues, nobody could interpret again because he was speaking the native language of the people. Now he just closed his eyes and he was praying in the spirit. It was just, and as he was praying in the spirit, speaking in tongues, he was already ministering. So the two interpreters were useless, because this one who is supposed to speak English does not understand the native language. So he didn't know that Baba was speaking the native language to him. Baba was praying in the spirit. Now the one who was now supposed to interpret to the native language was perplexed, because they have told him that this man does not understand their language, but this is man who closed his eyes and was already ministering to them. And after Baba was ministering, at the time he was going to stop, people have come out. So I was now wondering, say, what is this? They said Baba made an altar call, and people answered the altar call, 15 minutes. Preached a wonderful message he didn't know, and the message met the needs of the people he didn't know. He made the altar call he didn't know, the people came out for the altar call he didn't know. So when he just asked them, what are these people doing? This man cannot explain. The other man who understood the native language was the one who now said that, you are finished preaching now, send me preach. When? How? Why? He said, you finished preaching now, you made the other call, they came out to give their life to Jesus. And to open his mouth again, they couldn't speak the language again, so he started speaking Yoruba. So those who came out for the other call have to now listen to
three rounds of interpretation before they could now pray altar call. That was the tongues of men. Spoke in the tongue of men. I was in Uniben for a while, and there was a very troublesome part of my life, time of my life, when I was in Uniben. And one day, a bike man carried me, and then almost everywhere I go, I just want to pray around in the spirit. When I was in Unilagia, there used to be a lagoon front in that place, not as fine as it is now, very rough that time. I would call one of those boys that are paddling canoe. I'll just sit on the canoe. Normally it's like 50 naira to take you across to the other side. Then I will give them like 100 naira. I say, just drive me around. And there are like two or three of them who already knows when they see me. I just sit down in the canoe on the water. They are driving me around for 20-30 minutes. I'll just be praying in the spirit in my own. They don't disturb me. They just allow me. So there was this day I was doing, like, I just took a bike. I was just going around. I thought the Okada man just took, take me around this campus. And I was driving around. And I was just praying in the spirit. I was just praying in the spirit in my own. And as we're just going to go down, as he got to where he was going to drop me, I was paying him up. He spoke a language to me. I said, what? He spoke the language again. I didn't understand. He said, are you not from Zimbabwe? I said, how can I be from Zimbabwe? He said, but I was singing in Zimbabwe language. That he's a man from Zimbabwe, so he understands the song I was singing. Then I was just singing, left from Banda Santa Bianda, when he said that, I thought he was joking. He didn't, up till now, if I meet that man, he will never believe that I don't know how to speak the language. He thought I was pretending. I was speaking in the tongues of men. This is important because at times God may want to pass a message across to somebody. And then that person, the only way he can believe the message is to receive it in that tongue. And the only way he can believe that it's from God is now to now know that you don't even know what you have said. So I was praying around the campus and I was singing, but my song was ministering to the Okada man who carried me. And I didn't know. So you can be speaking a known language, known to other people, but unknown to you, because you have not learnt it, and you are still speaking in tongues. There are so many examples of that in the Bible. Okay, Acts chapter 2 is an example of that in the Bible. Then the second one is speaking in the tongues of angels. The first one is speaking in human tongue. But that human tongue is the one you have not learnt. The one you have not known before. Not that you have stayed a bit in the north. You now come to our midst. You are now speaking Hausa. Because you know that we don't know Hausa. That one is not speaking in an unknown tongue. He's speaking in a known tongue. Your mother tongue. Learned tongue. So you can be speaking in the tongues of angels. This one is a tongue that only you and God understands. Nobody understands it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. He's not saying what is known. Nobody can understand. Only God can understand. These are the two types of tongue. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 1. Paul summarizes these two tongues. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and tongues of angels. So a man can speak in tongues and he's speaking in the tongues of men. And can also speak in tongues and he's speaking in the tongues of angels. These tongues of men that Paul is saying is not just tongues of your mother tongue. Is tongues of men, gift of tongues of men. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is in between chapter 12 and chapter 14. Chapter 12 talks about the gift, all the gifts. Chapter 14 talks about the operation of speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. So you have in between the two, the tongues of men and the tongues of angels. So these are the two types of tongues. Separately, we see the gift of tongues in operation. The gift of tongues does not singularly move alone. It has a sister that is called interpretation of tongues. Interpretation of tongues. Because when you are speaking mysteries, you are speaking mysteries to God. God understands. But the people do not understand. So if God wants to pass a message across to the people, and the people do not understand,
what you are saying. How will God do it? God will have to speak through someone who understands. And that brings us to the gift of interpretation of tongues. Now, just do that briefly. Interpretation of tongues is different from the speak of gift of tongues. Tongues is when you are speaking the language. But there's another person who needs to speak a language that the people understand. So as you are speaking the tongue, God touches the heart of somebody in the crowd who does not understand the language you are speaking. And the person begins to speak what you are saying in the language that the people will understand. So maybe we are just worshiping God, and just at the corner there, Bro Toby will just begin to say shakala 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 shakala, and we all don't understand. And we are wondering what is wrong with this brother. Is it because he just bab his ear that he's saying shakala 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 shakala? And then from this corner, somebody will just say, "Thus saith the Lord." And as he's saying shakala shakala shakala, that person is saying, and you know, from all of the period I've seen this gift in operation, you know what I've always noticed? By the time this person says, "Thus saith the Lord," and he's speaking. The moment the person who is interpreting stops, the person who is speaking stops. And it always ends at a very reasonable point. The person will just say that, "I am the Lord, I change it not." And you will not be asking yourself, did they plan it to stop at the same time? The thing goes pari passu. This one says one statement, this one says one statement. And they are saying it like that. And the moment the one that you understand is trying to round up, and it just round up, that one rounds up at the same time. That's the gift of interpretation of tongues. For the purpose of those who are writing, I say interpretation of tongues is a supernatural expression in a known tongue. Interpretation of tongues, we are doing two gifts together because they are related. Supernatural expression in a known language or a known tongue of a message delivered in an unknown language. Supernatural expression in a known language or a known tongue of a message delivered in an unknown language. It could be the same person speaking in tongues and interpreting. Lebedos Haso Petelia Babada Sa, thus said the Lord. Reketota, Mikari is here. I am in your midst. Ralobe Kedosoria, to do great and wonderful things. Shakata Shakata, relax. Le Kedosoria, I'm bringing great, great, great move into this auditorium. Rakapos Keteria, I will cause my hands to move in this auditorium. Beketositoria, and people will see the manifestations of my power. Le Kedosoria, if you trust me, Rabadosoria, you will defeat this in operation. Le Kedosoria, says the Spirit of the Lord. And that is it. Could be the same person. That could be different people. Somebody may be speaking in tongues, another person is interpreting. Different people. But the two gifts always work together peri persu. If it is not interpreted, it is not the gift of tongues, it is tongues as a prayer language. Just keep quiet and relax. At times, it's possible that the person who will interpret may know the language and is the only person who knows the language. So I read a story in one of the Chinese countries. A white man was ministering, and as he was ministering, he started speaking in tongues, and among those Chinese in that country there was an half-blood Yoruba man. He is not a full Yoruba blooded man. Maybe the father married Yoruba or the mother married Yoruba. He's an half blood Yoruba, so he could understand Yoruba. And this Chinese, this white man was ministering to Chinese people, and he started speaking in tongues, and he was speaking in Jesha. Kong Ijesha. And nobody was interpreting. And there was this person in the audience who knew what for. He could not speak the Jesha language well because he was a mixed blood, but he understood what the man was saying. So he was asking himself, should I go out to say this thing? Should I go out? And was just troubled. But the white man was giving instruction on what they need to do. Like saying, my people, I want you people to hold 3 days program. 3 days program, I want to meet with you. But he was speaking it in Ijesha. I want to meet with you. I want to do great things in your midst. But meet with me for 3 days, said the Spirit of the Lord. And the man was preaching on his own because he just spoke in tongues. And he was speaking Konki Jesha. So after the service, the man who understood the Jesha
now asked to go and meet the pastor, and he wrote a note that said, okay, this was what the man was saying, you know, and understood the gesture I was speaking. So once in a while that could happen, because God knows that there's somebody in that crowd who understands that language. But most times it's always somebody who does not know the language, who has not learned the language, that is interpreting the language. That's the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues. Interpretation of tongues is a supernatural expression in a known tongue of a message delivered in an unknown language. Any questions before we round up? So I've done two gifts together today so that we can focus on prophecy next week. Another troublesome gift in the body of Christ, prophecy. Question on gift of tongues or interpretation of tongues? Is there any question? Question? Clarification? Okay. Use the second mic. Fast. Next, we'll be focusing on prophecy. Prophecy. To end the vocal gifts.
Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, sir. You mentioned that the last instance you mentioned, someone in the audience understood the tongues that was spoken, tongues of men. Can that qualify to be interpretation, the gift of interpretation of tongues, knowing that it is not, it's something that it's a language, a land that is expressing. It's not as though it came supernaturally to you.
Thank you. God works in a mysterious way. You can't box God into a container and say this is the only limit through which God can work. So once in a while, God could give a leeway for things to happen. So for example, God needs to pass a message across to the people. Now, the man of God revealed the message to the people as he was speaking in tongues, but there was no interpretation. And that was the only interpretation that was available. At that point, that interpretation can qualify as interpretation of tongues, since he heard what the person was saying and he could relate it. At other points, everybody hears it, it's no longer tongue. Because you won't even come to a place where everybody hears what you are saying and say you are speaking in tongues. So at that point, it can qualify for the gift of interpretation of tongues. More so, the person is not a full-blood Ijesha person. It was a mixed blood. He may not even be able to speak the language fluently. He could just speak things here and there. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, he could now hear everything plainly and then relay the message plainly, if there is another person in the crowd who is interpreting. So at that point, it would serve as interpretation of tongues, since he was interpreting what the person said. That's why I said you cannot box God into a corner. He operates. Now, God could have chosen to speak another language that no other person hears, and somebody else would need to interpret. But he chose to speak that language that only one person in the auditorium had. Now, it wasn't a mistake that the person chose to speak that. It wasn't intentional that the wise man spoke that particular tongue. It was just God leading him to speak that particular tongue. And it was the same God leading that person to be in that auditorium that particular time so they could interpret that language.
Thank you for listening to this message. We are sure you are blessed by it. If you would like to contact us, our address is 102 St. Philip's Road, Akoka, Lagos. Our phone number is 081-35-29-1769. Our email address is fgcdominioncenter@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Facebook at Fourth Point Dominion. God bless you.